July sequence now.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for The Video Freaks.
Hello, freaks!
Russian roulette is bareback sex with six chicks and one of them has AIDS.
Ooh, Hustler magazine! I finally get to see what a vagina looks like. Ah, oh god! Oh my god!
Don't have to do any work. Walk in and sit down. Why do you call yourself stupid for 2 hours?
And any guest you can get on this show, you should consider a special guest.
I'm a horrible fucking human being. I'm seriously going to hell.
Brian, why does everything you touch turn to garbage?
We're completely just fucking self-destructing. Welcome to the Radio Freaks, radiofreaks.tv. It is the, well, I was going to say this is the pre-Thanksgiving, Thanksgiving, Jesus Christ.
What the fuck?
Pre-Valentine's Day show, but fuck it, it's almost a week away, and I'm still baffled by the fact that you and I were able to get two women pregnant, so. let's just leave Valentine's Day well enough alone.
That is completely true.
I'm Brian.
I'm Tony. I'm gonna have to introduce myself now. What the fuck?
Well, you're always making fun of me because I do have a script, so to speak. I don't actually have a piece of paper in front of me, but for 7 years, I pretty much say the same fucking thing at the beginning of every show
with minor variation.
So. I try and switch it up from time to time. And then you and John and every other fucking co-host I've had fucking calls me out on it. So.
It's not a script necessarily. I mean, it's just, you've been doing this so long, you keep saying the same shit over and over again.
It's a rhythm, almost. It's not like a script, but it is like a rhythm. It's like a, you know, just what I'm supposed to do, almost. So. Anyway. Welcome to the Radio Freaks.
Hi, everybody.
Got a great show planned for you tonight. He gave us a special surprise phone call last week. Weren't expecting him. But our good pal, the owner of the Stress Factory, Vinny Brand, called us. And he will officially be our guest this evening. I hope. It's always great when you've booked a guest, you've advertised the guest, and then you go... I don't know. Should be gone. I noticed on his Facebook that he said the other day, I think Monday, that he wasn't feeling well. He had been under the weather and should be feeling well by the weekend when he's supposed to headline the Stress Factory, his own club, this weekend. And I've texted him, I've called him, and no reply.
Yeah.
But Vinny's one of those people where he'll still call. He got your messages. He's just bad at letting you know we got your messages.
He's a busy guy.
He is a very busy guy.
Yeah.
So we're happy that... I mean, hell, he called us from a Board of Education meeting. He ducked out of a Board of Education meeting to call us last year. So I'm just happy that he's taking a few minutes out of his busy schedule to give us a call, especially if he is under the weather.
Yeah.
So we look forward to him giving us a call in a few minutes. And then in the second half of the show, we've got... beautiful adult film star and MILF. I don't understand how that works. Girl looks like she's in her mid-20s and somehow she's a MILF. It's, everything's exponentially sped up in the adult film world.
I guess so.
We're like really fucking old. Well, you'd be like a grandfather, I guess, apparently, in porn. Well, I guess that really doesn't apply to the men so much as it applies to the women.
No.
I guess the guys, because really all you see of the guy is the dick. It doesn't really apply as much. For the girls, for some reason, if you're over, say, 25, all of a sudden you're a MILF. I don't understand that.
Yeah, but a 16-year-old who gets pregnant and has a kid isn't a MILF. Like, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like, they're still
a
mom.
It's weird. So.
Or like, I even feel like a 20-year-old who has a kid, right? and maybe attractive, but I still don't consider that a MILF.
Like, no, a MILF is generally somebody who's like in her 40s and 50s, I would think.
Yeah, I think by general consensus, yeah, they have to be.
And then GILF would be 60s, 70s?
I think they have to just have that mom look.
50s, 60s, that grandma look.
Hey, whatever you're into.
So I don't understand how they differentiate that. I have no idea. But somehow she's gotten labeled MILF, and she's very popular for her foot fetish porn as well. The beautiful Alana Love will be joining us in the second half of the show. Did I mention she's Russian?
I don't think you did.
She's something about Russian women. I had a huge crush on a dancer I worked with when I was working at the club in Philadelphia. When I was bouncing, I had a huge crush on this one tiny little blonde girl.
Oh, yeah.
And she was straight over off the boat and earning some money for the summer, and decided to eventually come back and stay, like a few of the girls did. She's married now and living in Northeast Philly. She's got two beautiful kids, but had the biggest crush on her.
Better get that immigrant status looked at.
Yeah, right. I used to teach her English, and she used to teach me Russian.
Huh.
That was our little friendship deal that we had.
Nice gal.
Yeah. There was That's one girl. The
most you could have got out of her.
Huh?
It's probably the most you could have gotten out
of
her.
Yeah, I mean, let's face it. She was a fucking 10, and I'm a 2 in a dark alley. So, there was another girl that I worked with who was also a Russian immigrant dancer. And she's recently become a nurse, and somebody was giving her shit since the election and stuff like that about how she's taking American jobs and all this other. Bitch, she came over here legally, made her way as an immigrant legally, and bettered herself doing something that nobody else wanted to do. It's frowned upon to be a stripper in this country or work in the sex industry at all by most people.
Yeah.
Yet they have no problem watching it. Worked her way through school, and now just bought herself a, what'd she buy herself? A Lamborghini or, I don't know, some Ferrari or something. I don't know. But it was an expensive car, and she takes trips all the time and everything else, and all on her own money. She works her ass off as a nurse. She works a lot of hours. And she can afford to do it. And they're giving her shit for it. Like, she stole something from an American to do it. I don't fucking get it.
Yeah, you know, don't understand. I don't know. Like I said, I don't know how you're gonna be. I don't know how you're gonna raise a kid in Trump's America. Seems like it's gonna be difficult.
Yeah.
Just kidding. Seems awesome. It's for me.
Let's be honest. Not all of us are in the situation you're in. So I mean, there's that.
Yeah, I was gonna say you should maybe like him a little bit more, because it sounds like you and him have a lot in common.
Who, me and Trump, or me and my unborn son?
No,
I really wish I was inside a vagina most of the time too. So there's that.
They're not in the vagina. It's just not in there. You know, it's a uterus and things like that.
Well, I'm Irish. I really don't get into the uterus, but
apparently you and Trump like Russian chicks.
Apparently.
Do yours pee on you too?
I see. No. That's cool.
Why am I going to a news story that was completely fake and is like a month old? I don't know what I'm doing.
And so what if it was true? Who cares?
When I heard that story, I thought of this show immediately.
It's good enough for Jim Norton. It's good enough for anybody else. Fuck it.
I thought of the show immediately when that happened, because it was like there's something. Like you always say, there's something for everyone.
Yeah.
And well, fine. You don't even like him, but it's like, yeah, if he likes getting pissed on, so what?
Exactly.
Who cares? Yeah, he's the president.
I mean, honestly, I really don't think that he should be getting a hooker to piss on him or whatever in the Lincoln bedroom. But, well, I mean, get a fucking hotel room or something.
But, I mean, there's people like that shit. Yeah. Why frown upon it? Whatever. I think we already talked about this.
Yeah. If you'd like to call the show tonight, you can do that 951-FREAKS0. That's 951-373-2570 to call the show. If you want to keep up with us on social media, you should go to the Facebook page and like us on Facebook, facebook.com/theradiofreaks. And if you happen to be like Tony and you are anti-Facebook and you are more of a Twitter person, then you should like us on or follow us on Twitter. That's at The Radio Freaks on Twitter. At Trash Can Lives is Tony, and at Wood Floor Liquor is myself.
Still can't get my followers up. I don't get it. I don't care.
Give them Viagra. Oof. That really was awful.
Maybe this is why.
I don't know. The show account's doing fine. It's just your account that's not getting listeners.
Maybe it's too right wing or something. I don't know.
I don't know. I did remember, this is a total fourth wall breaker real quick, and you're the only person that's going to understand this. I did start the live stream this week.
Oh, well, that's good.
I wrote myself a little note sitting right in front of my desk.
Good.
So
we don't want to piss off our boss.
No. Speaking of our boss, I would like to take the opportunity to acknowledge the fact that for those of you that did not hear the big announcement on the big show,
I saw something about that. What's going on with that?
I happened to tune in live, and I got to hear the big announcement on the Ham Radio Show, formerly airing on Tuesday mornings from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. They are currently in hiatus mode until further notice. The Ham Radio Show is on pause because, for a good reason, Uncle Eddie has finally started the journey to reaching his ultimate goal, and that is to working for the Mount Olympus of radio, Sirius XM Satellite Radio.
Yes, I did catch that little obvious tweet he put.
Yes, Uncle Eddie has been seriously pursuing, as he put it, a position with SiriusXM, and he has finally realized his dream. He's going to be working for all of the talk shows on the SiriusXM platform in a behind-the-scenes capacity, and that's really all he was at liberty to say.
So, oh, he's a program director.
He's sure. Why
good
not?
Good luck, buddy.
He's a peon at this point. And speaking of getting peed on, and he's going to be working for our good pal, the Sex Bagel, Eric Nagel, as well as Howard Stern, CNBC, CNN, Fox News, all those different OutQ, which you can make the joke there. But for the time being, because he's going to be working every day and the Ham Radio Show aired Tuesdays from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m., he's going to have to find a nighttime home for the Ham Radio Show and get all his guys on the same schedule before he can start doing the show again. So for the time being, the Ham Radio Show is on hiatus. I did extend the olive branch to Eddie anytime he'd like to stop in and say hello and get something off his chest. He's more than welcome to stop by the, I guess now the flagship of the Unfiltered Radio Network.
Yeah, is that a conflict of interest? I'm a little worried.
It's not a conflict of interest. It's just that he works during the day and all his guys work different days, so that he needs to find a time at night where he can actually do the show. So, so there's the Ham Radio Show that's on hiatus. There's us every Wednesday night from 9 to 11 in the evening, and then there's Social Downfall Radio, which new shows are uploaded on Thursdays. There is the Eat Clean Think Dirty Show, which is uploaded every Monday in the evening, and you should check all of those out over at unfilteredradionetwork.com. So
yes, you should
keep track of all the radio shows. The Ham Radio Show, you can check out almost 10 years worth of shows that he's done.
10 years long, 10 years strong. Ring the bell.
And then Eat Clean, Think Dirty with Dr. Deb and Social Downfall Radio with our pal King. That's on Thursday nights. So.
Well, that's good for him, man. I'm happy.
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm hoping. I told him, don't forget all of us little people. Because, our aspirations of being on that same platform, of course, right up there with his.
Well, we got to be good first.
Well, there's that.
I know, and I have my aspirations, and they're falling apart miserably.
Why? What's that?
Oh, I'm just trying to start other shows and... branch out from my Radio Freaks career.
Right. That's,
it's just nonsense. Nobody wants to do a show with me. None of my friends. They all of my friends have very, they're very opinionated. I have one of my really good friends who's very liberal, hilarious, crazy, drunk just like me. And I was like, let's do a show.
Right.
In person at the bar, when we're together, totally fucking crazy and hilarious talks, offensive, just crazy. And I'm like, hey, let's do a podcast. I don't know. I don't want to get my name out there. Somebody might hear, as my other friend, same thing.
All I'm going to say in rebuttal to that is that somebody I know about a year and a half ago, only just recently, really, came to the other side of that argument and finally said, you know what? You're right. Fuck it.
Are you talking about me?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. It's like you're this one way in your personal life. And they're very adamant. They're very opinionated about a lot that's going on in the country, because we don't talk politics on this show, but like in my personal life I talk a lot about free speech, and I hate feminism and I think it's silly, and I think a lot of the stuff that's going on in the country right now as far as the left goes and all this other nonsense that everyone's doing a podcast on now, I do talk about it, but in person with my friends they're very loud about it. So it's like, why would you not want to? You just want to keep that like between us, and then that's it. Like, you have ideas about when you're drunk about changing things, and you know what I mean,
right?
Wouldn't you want to at least get it out there? Why are you afraid of anything? And that's what scares me, is the fact that I have people. There's people now who are just afraid of getting their opinion out publicly, but they'll do it publicly. But putting it out there as like a thing that other people can find is like terrifying.
The only thing that I will say, and sorry,
at the bar, when you could literally probably get your ass kicked, just for saying something. I mean, it's happened. It's okay. But, if you can do it anonymously on the internet through a podcast without saying your name or any specifics about yourself, that's scary. I don't get it.
I don't know. I will tell you, as somebody that is gainfully employed and seeks to be further gainfully employed in the near future, it is in the back of my head as I look at new jobs or continue to work at places I'm already at. It is in the back of my head, hey, you do a podcast where you interview porn stars. Not even so much the comedians. But everybody's got this stigma about porn. So the fact that my advertising for this show is all over my Facebook page, all over my Twitter account, and anybody that knows that Wood Floor Liquor is Brian and Brian is Wood Floor Liquor can make the connection. There's really not that much culpable deniability, aside from the fact that Brian Smith is a fairly common name, even within Philadelphia, that I could probably get away with denying that it's me.
I just don't think what you as far as your job on this show, I mean, yes, you've said some offensive things. Sure.
But I'm generally like the peacekeeper and the...
Yeah, you're generally pretty good.
Not to say the whole, but...
Not the whole,
kind
but
kind of.
As far as like what the big problem is now is racially insensitive things or anything politically incorrect about anything, you know, LGBTQ or, you know, immigrant, you know, stuff like that, that is like labels you a Nazi or something offensive. You don't really go there much.
No.
Black jokes, stuff like that, you know, but I mean, they could
be
like
those kind of things cost you a job these days. And it's sad that it does, but it does. Sad.
I mean, but you talk about sexual stuff and you know, we do sometimes get into some really, really sexual shit. But I mean, there's really nothing there to get you in trouble. I mean, maybe a few like side eyes like, oh, now I know what he's into.
Right.
But you couldn't really get fired for that, I don't think.
Oh, you'd be surprised, particularly because Pennsylvania is an at-will employment state. All you really need to do is just sneeze funny and they can fire you if they want.
Yeah. No. I just don't like it. You know, I don't like it.
Oh, I don't like it either, but unfortunately, it's the nature of the beast.
And it shouldn't be that way.
It shouldn't. It really shouldn't.
What I do on this show should completely be separate from anything else I do. As long as I do that job well and what's expected of me and don't carry over what I say on this show into my personal life in that aspect, shouldn't be a problem. But we live in a society now that's where we've gotten to.
I don't know how we got there, when we got there.
No, right? When did we?
I don't know. It didn't used to be that way, where people would dig into your personal life and then use it against you professionally.
Yeah, it's almost fun now, I think, for people. I think that's what happened.
Is it Schadenfreude?
What does that mean?
It is the German word for finding joy in other people's misery.
I think so. I think that's what it is. It's because a lot of these internet people who do this, write blogs, do research, find out all this shit, whatever, dox people, I guess you could call it.
Right.
Yeah, it's almost like my life's so shitty, but like I have pleasure in seeing someone get fired or get in trouble or, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
It's weird.
I don't understand that sick fascination of people wanting to see other people fired or in trouble. I don't understand that.
I think it's because a lot of millennials now just really don't have any guidance and they have nothing going on. So that's fun. You know, it's fun to do that. It's almost like egging a house back in the day or, you know, lighting a bag of shit on someone's front doorstep.
Right.
But like they don't do that anymore. So now it's like, okay, well, I'm just going to get somebody fired.
Yeah, I don't know.
Because the internet is in front of me and I got nothing else better to do in mom's basement, even though I'm in my girlfriend's basement.
insert person's basement here.
Yeah, whatever. I don't get it. Until then, I'm going to say whatever the fuck I want. So
there you go.
Fuck yourselves.
Free speech. Somebody that is also a big, big, big fan of saying whatever the fuck he wants to say. Although, you know what? He's not really one with the curse words. He's a fairly his material can be edgy, but he's a fairly G-rated material kind of guy as far as his verbiage goes, is our good pal and owner of the Stress Factory Comedy Club, where he's going to be headlining this weekend, our good pal, Mr. Vinny Brand. How are you, sir?
I'm doing good, man.
Are you feeling all right? We saw you were under the weather earlier in the week, and we weren't sure you were going to be able to make it.
I'm going to make it, but I am sick. I have a very heavy, like, cold and sore throat.
Ugh.
But I will tell you that I'm going to be better tomorrow. And, you know, I'll be fine.
It can only get better, right? It can't get any worse from where you are.
Well, I went to a doctor, and she said, okay, you have a whatever, virus, whatever the hell it is.
Was it Kevorkian?
And she said to me, I can give you an antibiotic, but don't take it unless you have to. What kind of human being doesn't take an antibiotic? I'm like, give it to me right away. What's wrong with you?
I've
been on it for 3 days. I'll be fine.
I'll tell you why. Because the more people take antibiotics, the more resistant to antibiotics these drugs become, and they morph into superbugs, and then there's nothing to treat those things.
Wait, what are you saying?
All right, so she gave you an
antibiotic.
She gave you an antibiotic, told you not to take it unless you absolutely needed to, because if you take an antibiotic and you don't need to take it, these viruses then mutate to antibiotic-resistant versions of these strains, and then there's nothing left to treat those strains with.
So what you want me to do is just be sick so the rest of humanity can... Are you out of your mind? I rarely take antibiotics, rarely. But I do like getting healthier. So I'm taking it this time, and I have to. And I'm going to tell you, I think that your whole diatribe on how my taking an antibiotic is going to mutate and kill the world, I think it's a little bit extreme.
Hold on. I'm getting this backed up by medical fact. So you know my wife is a nurse. She literally overheard me telling you that and just texted me, antibiotics only kill bacteria, not viruses, just saying. So
she said antibacterial. What did she say?
She said antibiotics kill bacteria, not viruses. That's why people don't generally take antibiotics.
First of all, I don't know if it's a bacteria or a virus. I don't know what it is. All I know is I'm sick, and I'm taking antibiotics, and hopefully I'll get better. And tell your wife and everybody else in the medical profession, don't confuse me with your mumbo-jumbo. I have to do shows tomorrow, Friday and Saturday. I need to be healthy.
You have a special teacher's edition of your headlining super show this weekend for Teachers Appreciation Day, which is tomorrow night, and teachers that come out not only will get one of your special snow day comedy shows, but they will also get a teacher-geared comedy show, which I know you have a lot of material specifically targeted for teachers. So that should be cool. Especially
I have a lot of material for teachers, students, parents, and I got a lot of, you know, I've been doing it for so long, I think I have, you know, I don't know, hours and hours of material. So what I'm going to do this week, tomorrow night will be a little different than Friday. Friday will be a little different than Saturday. So, you know, I'm going to try and keep it mixed up a little bit. I'm definitely going to do religion again. I'll definitely do teachers. So have you seen me do a whole show? You have, right?
I got the opportunity to see you last year, actually, when you headlined. When you were just working out some of the new teacher material. Yeah, it was very good. Not to rip off Rich Voss, but it's very rare that you ever see you do the same show twice. It's always mixed up in some way.
Wait, a DVD thing that's doing what?
I said not to rip off Rich Voss. I said, but it's very rare that you actually do the same show from show to show twice.
Oh yeah, I don't. I generally do not. And Voss mixes it up too. I think that for to perform, you got to just keep writing to make it interesting and fun. The guy that does the same stuff over and over again, I'm always saying to myself, "Aren't you bored? Aren't you at a point where you're just bored?" For me, you know, I'm always writing. I have a ton of stuff on this election, which is all really fun. I mean, you know, you look at this election, this is going to be 4 years of easy writing. super easy writing.
Which is odd.
Did you want Trump?
I see, I'm afraid to tell you because I know where you stand, and I'm afraid this is going to damage our friendship because I'm not on the same side of the border wall that you are.
I mean, it didn't damage our friendship, and we're completely opposite.
I don't know. Do you know who I voted for?
I'm going to take a wild guess and say that you were very much about making the Stress Factory and New Brunswick great again.
Here's the thing. My vote was a protest vote. Now, okay. Ask me what I mean by that.
You did not want to vote for Hillary, so you voted for Trump.
I couldn't vote for Hillary. I couldn't.
I absolutely agree with Trump, you. Absolutely agree with you.
But in New Jersey, you knew Hillary was going to win the electoral votes of New Jersey in any case.
Probably.
So for me, by voting for Trump, I was really just saying, I'm tired of the same old people.
Right.
And, you know, I mean, listen, the press is kicking the snot out of the guy every single day. And yeah. Some of it's deserved and some of it isn't. You know, the guy, he's definitely crazy. I mean, he's definitely out there.
Yep.
Are you upset so far?
You know, there's been here's my thing. We are, what, 20-something days in now? I would like to see some substance out of this. We really have not. He's caused mass confusion with the way he's rolled out the few things that he has. And I would just like to see things rolled out a little bit more smoothly and concisely. Through the entire election, everything was, it's going to be great, it's going to be wonderful, it's going to be fantastic, you're going to love it. And there was no specifics, I felt like.
Yeah, but he's done everything he said he was going to do, more than any other president's ever really done.
But that's
whether or not it's working or people like
it. But that's easy to do when you were vague about what you were going to get done in the first place.
I don't know if he was vague. He said he was gonna put a ban on from certain countries.
He did it.
And, you know, he did it. And, you know, the media is calling it a Muslim ban. It's not a Muslim ban. It's a ban from those countries. And it's really difficult to look at what's going on with the way the media is treating it. And, of course, he feeds right into it because he just acts insane.
Right.
So
I like it. Why wouldn't you feed into it? I would. I don't know.
Why wouldn't you what?
Why wouldn't you feed into it? That's what I think that's what the majority of people don't like about him, is because that's what I would do if I'm a normal person. I'm like, I don't want the biggest person in the country doing exactly what I would probably do, but I kind of like it.
Listen, I can tell you that government in general and what they've been doing for the last 10 years has not worked, right?
True.
I mean, we don't
Very
do
true.
Anything big. We don't do anything substantive anymore. So, I mean, you know, we're a country that sent a man to the moon. Where's our moon mission? Where's our anything? We don't do anything anymore that's exciting or different or new, because there's so much politics involved in all of it. So my attitude is, if Trump says he's going to rebuild the infrastructure, I believe he's going to. I really believe that guy's going to go heavy on the infrastructure, and we definitely need that, right?
Right. I was very upset when they defunded the space program. I really was very upset. As somebody who grew up wanting to go to space camp as a kid and watching very intently all the shuttle missions and things of that nature, and growing up in a time where that was really an awesome accomplishment for us as far as getting men into space and things of that nature, and living through the tragedies of losing spacecraft in that attempt as well. It was really sad when they defunded the space program. I would have probably voted for Bernie. And for the same reason you voted for Trump, it was a protest vote. But I thought out of the three of those, that he really stood the best chance of helping out everybody, I think, from a global perspective. Yeah.
The problem with Bernie is he's a socialist. I mean, you know, you can't just tax and spend. You can't just tax people into oblivion. You can't have free college. I mean, how are you going to do all that? Bernie was kind of crazy. Nice old man, but crazy. I think that, we had terrible choices between Trump and Clinton.
Right.
Those are some bad choices.
Yes.
Right? I mean, really bad choices.
Some of the best we've faced in the worst in years.
It's the worst in years, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. I could think of 10 people I would have rather had run than either one of these two. But that's how broken politics is, and that's why for me as a comic, it's just really easy right now.
Oh yeah.
People think sometimes that I'm picking, that I'm taking one side or the other. Really, I'm not. both people get picked on heavily. You know, look at New Jersey. It's a disaster. Chris Christie's a disaster.
Yeah.
So anyway.
I campaigned for Chris Christie, for all you people listening.
For you people listening, I will be. I want to tell you, the stuff I'm doing on politics is hysterical. I am so happy doing it, but I'm not coming down on one or the other. I'm on both of them. Right. And it's just, you know, it's funny stuff. I'm not trying to make a statement. I'm just having fun with it. Because that's my job, right? Just have fun with it.
Exactly. And to take people's mind off of it for a while. It's not to drum a political message into their heads for, you know, 90 minutes while they're sitting there trying to enjoy themselves and laugh, which is not what you do with your stuff. You mention stuff, but you highlight the absurdity of it.
There's no message. I always say that I'm not trying to fix the world, because for a comic, what you really want is the world to be screwed up a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that's what gives us a job. I don't try and fix the world or make people see a point of view. I just want to have fun. I want to have fun. I want to laugh. I want people to walk out of there going, oh, my God, that guy was ridiculously funny. I did have a girl at the Borgata. Did I tell you this last week? I can't remember.
No.
I did a joke, and she got upset and walked out. But she didn't just walk out. She had to, like, walk across the front of the stage and make a scene. And I think she thought people would be on her side. There was 802 people in the room. When she walked out, 801 people booed her. Like, brutal.
Good.
It was hysterical.
That's
lovely. It was hysterical. And then what happened is, I thought, okay, they're going to be mad at me. The Borgata's going to be mad because I hammered the girl.
Right.
The Borgata, awesome, comes up to me and says, hey, listen, we told her you don't belong in a comedy show. So I'm like, oh, I love you.
Yeah.
It was great.
They don't put up with that shit really down there fun. At the Borgata, which I really enjoy. And that's something that I think, I mean, you guys do it at the Stress Factory. You back up the comics. Look at what Margaret Cho went through. And you guys stood behind her the entire time. You really, you know, you're there for the comics as much as you are for the audience, too. But what's right is right, and what's wrong is wrong. And when somebody decides they're going to make a scene just to try and embarrass the comic or steal time or attention from the comic, this is not right. Let the other people who are trying to enjoy the show that they paid for. So,
yeah, Richie, well, being for the comic is being for the audience.
Right. Exactly,
you know what I mean?
Right.
Yep. So when you're there for the comic, you're really there for the audience, because what you're doing is you're letting the audience enjoy the show as they're supposed to enjoy it.
Exactly.
So I always say, look, me being for the comic is being for the audience.
Right.
If there's some guy in there or some girl in there that's got, you know, a ton of drama over nothing, I just laugh and go, you know what? You don't belong here. You don't belong here.
Yep.
And that's here something- we're out of fun.
That's something I can honestly say that you'll find very much at the Stress Factory. You'll find it at Mark does the same thing at Helium. Richie and Darcy do it down at the Borgata. Is very much standing up for what's right. And when you're wrong, they'll tell you you're wrong. And you just shouldn't be here if you're not the fan of comedy. So I think that that's great, because there's a lot of comedy clubs that don't do it, and they criticize the, like you said, you were worried about the Borgata saying something, but there's these clubs out there that really do come down on you guys like it's your fault for, you know, firing back when you're heckled. And I what are you supposed to do? Stand up there and choke on your balls and not be allowed to say something to them? I don't think that's right either.
Yeah. So. No, it's not. And you know, it's funny, because I tell people, look, If you are at a comedy show and you're willing to get upset or you get upset, it's probable that you're just a pain in the ass.
Yeah.
Right? In other words, I mean, who gets upset at a comedy show? I always laugh, because comedy is the one art form where, you know, you're telling a joke, everyone knows it's a joke, it's supposed to be a joke, it's supposed to be funny, and people will get upset, and they're like, wait a minute. We're joking. Okay, how are you upset? It's obvious that we're making fun. But, of course, some people do get upset. Fortunately, not too many.
Right.
You know, most, for the most part. You know, and I don't think that... I think you shouldn't get upset, number one. And number two, if you're going to a comedy show And you're getting that comic impact on you in that way.
Right.
It's crazy. Crazy. So.
Yeah, like.
Just have fun and drink.
Like you said, a joke that offended them and now it's ruining their lives, even though all they have to do is not see you again and leave, but it's affected their life and they have to take it out on you.
You know what it is? I don't think enough people do their homework when it comes to going to a comedy show. I think that it's, oh, hey, let's go out. We'll go see a comedy show. And then they find a comedy show and they just walk into it blindly without seeing who it is that's going to be performing. Or if you have not heard of that person, do your homework and see, hey, is this somebody I'm really going to want to see? Or is this somebody maybe that's not really in line with what I think is funny? Because that's how people get in trouble. You got Gilbert Gottfried, who lost major endorsement deals because he was doing exactly what he has done for years, and that's to make fun of tragedy and have us laugh again. People who constantly get in trouble for doing what it is they were hired to do, and that's be a fucking comedian. And I just don't understand it. And then you get these people that heckle the comic sitting in the audience because they don't like what's going on, or they got too drunk to be able to handle what's going on, to be able to behave themselves. Yeah. And they're the disruption, and they're causing everybody else to have a shitty night. If you don't do your homework... You know, you really should just do your fucking homework. I don't understand why you can't do that, so.
What happened with Jeselnik? What was the joke Jeselnik got in trouble for? Jeselnik lost a TV show over it.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't remember exactly.
Wasn't it a 9-11? Didn't he get caught? No, that wasn't Jeselnik. It wasn't Jeselnik. My bad. No.
His was a tweet. He tweeted something right after a tragedy.
Right.
And the tweet was, got in a lot of trouble. He got in a lot of trouble for it. And Comedy Central basically told him, look, you got to delete that tweet or we're canceling the show.
Right.
And, he ended up...
It was the Boston Marathon.
But he lost the show.
Oh, that's what it was, the Boston Marathon.
What was the joke?
Hold on a second. There are some lines that just shouldn't be crossed today, especially the finish line. 4/15/2013.
Now, see, that's funny. Come on.
That's hilarious. I mean, that's
what was it, Jess?
Lines that just shouldn't be crossed today, especially the finish line.
That's funny.
Right, but he did it right on the day of the tragedy, right?
Right.
Yeah, and then I think somebody, the tweet has since been removed for the county. Backlash, some calling for Comedy Central to fire him and working to get the fire Jeselnik hashtag to trend.
Why does it need to cost somebody their job? We were just talking about this before we had you on, about people doing podcasts and stuff like that, and it costing them their real life job because somebody doesn't like what you have to say on something that has nothing to do with what you're doing at work. But people enjoy hanging other people out to dry or just enjoy schadenfreude for the sake of other people losing their jobs. I don't get it.
Well, with Jeselnik's joke, I do understand why that joke was a problem. I do understand it.
Sure.
Because people lost their lives, and I'm not saying that he should lose his job over it. I understand that people get upset with that.
Right.
But Jeselnik is that comic. Jeselnik is that guy that does that edgy stuff. So, with Jeselnik, you know what you're getting. And Comedy Central knew what they were getting. So, you're right. When they put him on that show, they knew what they were getting. And they shouldn't have been surprised. He did lose the show over that, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Aflac hired a comedian who did a joke the day after 9/11 about making a stop at the Empire State Building. Because he couldn't get a direct flight. How do you not...
What was the joke?
Gilbert Gottfried's joke about he had to leave early because he had to catch a flight, but he couldn't catch a direct flight. They had to make a stop at the Empire State Building. How do you not know who you're
hiring? At the World Trade Center.
The World Trade Center was already gone at that point. So he was saying that they had to make a stop at the Empire State Building, which was still standing. How do you not understand who you're hiring?
Right.
It's a great fucking joke,
right.
But now you're going to ask this person to do a national spokesperson spot and then get upset when they do exactly what it is they were doing in the first place when you hired them. I just, it infuriates me. Absolutely infuriates me.
Well, it can make you crazy. And you know, the thing about that is that with Godfrey, he got Affleck fired him for the tsunami jokes.
Right.
And both Godfrey and Jeselnik said that people after the tragedies are not checking their Twitter account. Godfrey did a great joke. He, on stage, after Affleck fired him, he said, "I don't know who I offended." Because I don't think anyone was in the tsunami going, "My house is floating away. Let me check my Twitter account."
Exactly. And, exactly right.
You know, and Jeselnik said that he was joking about the people who go on social media right away and say, "My thoughts and prayers are with you."
Right.
Because his thought was, that's just your way of saying, I'm important, I count, don't forget about me.
Exactly.
And all interesting takes on it, you know.
It's just as much putting the spotlight on them in the guise of saying, you know, "Oh, my thoughts and prayers are with them. I wished my thoughts and prayers, so, you know, I'm important." Go fuck yourself. Everybody's upset about it. Well, no person in their right mind, unless they happen to share the same name of those two brothers, were not upset that people lost their lives at the Boston Marathon. So just stop.
Correct.
So.
Correct. And I said, I always say, when people say, "My thoughts and prayers are with you," they're on the internet when they say it. The very next thing they're doing, if they're a woman, is they're Googling kittens or sales. And if they're a man, well, you don't even want to know what the next thing they're doing is.
Now,
and, you know,
that's offensive. I don't like that. I don't like that kind of talk at all, Vinny. Come
right?
on. Please apologize. I'm telling you.
I want to talk about the Stress Factory real quick, because you're, of course, going to be headlining at the club which you hold so dear. It's been in business for almost three decades now, right? It's been over 20 years, but not quite 30 years. You're going to be headlining at the club this weekend, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Five shows, 7:30 on Thursday, 7:30 and 9:45 on Friday and Saturday. Thursday, of course, being the special teacher appreciation night, so people should come out for that. Mm-hmm. But you've got the very funny Tommy Pope, one of the co-writers of Delco Proper, opening up for you, which is very cool as well. Really cool.
Love
comedian.
Tommy Pope.
You've got something on the show which you've talked about, at least to me, before. I think you've mentioned it on the show before, too. The Flying Ivories dueling pianos thing, which is on Wednesday nights. Mm-hmm. That's all through February, and I think it was through January as well. It's something that you had mentioned was going really, really good at the club. I'm going to make a suggestion. I'm going to make a suggestion. Can we maybe leave them on Wednesday nights? And then I noticed in March, you've got the March Madness of comedy competition. The only reason I'm asking about this is because I think you should move the March Madness of comedy competition to Tuesday nights. Mark asked me 2 years ago if I would mind coming up to judge that, and I said I would love to, but it goes right up against the Radio Freaks, and I'd like to come up and judge it.
Are you trying
to? I can't do it on Wednesday nights.
Wait. Are you trying to tell Vinny how to run his business? What are you doing?
It sounds very much like I'm being told how to run the business.
Brian, what are you getting fucking fresh?
I think he's got a great thing up there, and I want to be part of it. And I'm just saying I would like to help judge it, but it's up against our show. That's all. I was offered to do it.
But your show's Wednesday. What if we moved it to Tuesdays?
If you moved it to Tuesdays, I'd be there every week.
No.
That's what I'm saying. We'll do it Tuesdays.
Yeah, the March Madness thing. If you could do that on Tuesdays.
You want to see the March Madness. You want to be there for March Madness, not doing tennis.
Yeah, Mark said to me, he goes, about 2 years ago, he asked me if I would be interested in judging it. And I said, "Oh, that would be awesome. I would love to do it." He goes, "It's Wednesday nights at 8 o'clock. I'm like, "It goes right up against the show. I can't do it, unfortunately." So I've been unable to do it that year and then this past year as well. And it's scheduled for Wednesday nights this year as well. So, but I would love to be able to do it because I think it's a great thing that you guys do.
Why don't you just cancel our show and go hang out with Vinny at the club? What are you doing?
That's like telling Vinny to shut the club down and just come do our show every week.
For I'm saying you cancel our show on Wednesday and go do his stuff.
I know.
He's more important than our show. Vinny's way more important than
ours. What you could do is we'll move March Madness to Tuesdays.
No, I'm not.
We're going to be doing Canada.
I'm not expecting you to move shit just for me. I'm just telling you, I think it's a great thing. I appreciate the fact that you guys asked me to even be involved. And if it were to actually change to a different day, I would love to help you out with it again.
I'd actually be mad if, Vinny, if you changed it just for Brian. You have to make up a different...
No.
I'm changing it
for doing pianos. Because pianos is fun. And March Madness is great, too. But, you know, then you get Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
Right.
And we like 5 nights at the club. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I know that I judge for Mark. I judge the Phillies' funniest competition. I always have such a great time doing that. And I would just love to be able to do the same thing for you guys. That's all. So.
I judged the Phillies' funniest competition a few years back. And,
that's a great competition.
I enjoyed that as well.
Yeah. It was really, really fun to do. So,
have you seen Tommy Pope recently?
I saw him, I want to say about 2-3 months ago at Helium. It was like right before the holidays I saw him. Really, really funny
guy, right?
Very, very funny. They did a Delco proper night actually at the club, and it was very, very funny.
Our show, right?
Tommy Pope has been on the show, yes.
Yeah.
So,
Tommy Pope's a funny dude, man. Yeah. And that show. It's going to be a big success, I think.
Don't die, Vinny.
You have shows
to do this weekend. Don't die.
It's so brutal.
I'm sure.
I'm hoping that tomorrow we don't get snowed out. But if we do get snowed out, I get one more day to convalesce, which wouldn't be bad either.
That's not bad either. I know people that have already... I know you're going to love this statement. There's already schools in New Jersey that have canceled school for tomorrow.
Oh, my town canceled.
It amazes me.
My time canceled.
There hasn't been a snowflake hit the ground yet, and the kids already have a day off.
Well, you know, it's funny. I slept all day today, and I woke up at 7:30, thinking it was 7:30 in the morning.
Oh.
And that it was dark out.
Don't you hate that? Yeah, I hate that.
And I thought it was dark out. And I thought it was dark out because it was snowing. I'm looking at the time, and it didn't even snow. And I knew my kid didn't have school already, so it was hysterical. I woke up all disoriented. I went to sleep at 12, and I stayed in bed until 7:30 at night.
Wow.
All
right.
Who do I call to open up my own comedy club, and how do I find that job? Because that sounds amazing.
Well, I only slept because I was sick.
He has a phenomenal group of employees that run that place in his absence.
I'm in the wrong business. Goddamn.
He really does. Mark and Corinne
are you
and the wait staff
for the shows this weekend?
All phenomenal. I'm going to try. I actually have to take some classes on Saturday out in Jersey, and I'm thinking of stopping by after my classes on Saturday. So,
yes, AIDS Anonymous.
Well, if you want, I will leave you tickets at the door. I would love you to see the show.
Thank you, sir. I would love to come and see it.
Your partner's where? Where's your partner? Out in the Midwest somewhere?
I'm not making it.
Yeah, where are you?
I'm in Cincinnati, Ohio. So, yeah.
Is it cold there now?
Oh, it's snowing like a motherfucker already. Right now, yep.
Right now it is?
Mm-hmm.
And that's the snow we're going to get, right?
Probably, yep.
Yep.
Yeah, that's what we're getting.
Keep that shit there.
How much snow are you going to get?
Not sure. My Doppler isn't working tonight.
Jesus.
But it's coming down. It's coming down.
How did you two meet?
Believe it or not, he sent me an email.
Rest stop bathroom.
He sent me an email asking if I wanted to revamp the website. He was a fan of the show that listened, and I had just parted ways with my previous co-host, and he offered to do the website, and in exchange I said you want to fill in as a co-host 1 week, and he said sure, and he actually was halfway decent, so I kept him. And it's been over 2 years now he's been co-host on the show. So, Vinny, can you believe this show has been going for 7 years? And we've had a relationship with Stress Factory for like 7 years now?
That's amazing.
Is that crazy?
It's so funny. I think about the club, and it sometimes gets lost on me. We opened in 1991.
Wow.
So it's been a long time.
I was 3 years old.
Yeah, in 4 years, we'll be 30 years in.
Wow.
And it's a long time.
In 90.
And I don't know that I ever thought it would work. I don't know that I ever thought
really?
We were going to be around.
Huh.
You know what I mean? Like I just never thought.
Well, look at all these big household names in Jersey that didn't make it. Rascals is a perfect example of that. Had locations all over Jersey. Cherry Hill, West Orange. They had one down in like Keyport area or something like that, or Long Branch. They didn't last. None of them lasted. They're gone. But you've been
all gone.
All gone.
The only thing left in New Jersey is Catch Rising Star, which is absolutely abysmal. Catch Rising Star is just an abysmal little room, and they book sometimes good, sometimes bad comedy. But that was there before we opened, and when we opened, they were Monday. I'm going to say they were Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Monday was the only day they were closed. And they were doing, back then, 2 on Friday, 3 on Saturday. So they were doing Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday,
right.
Friday, Saturday, Sunday, 9 shows a week.
Wow.
And the room at that point was a 260-seat room. And they were sold out almost all the time. And Catch Rising Star was doing incredible business. And, you know, they're still there, but I don't know how. Rascals is gone. The comedy club at Tropicana is gone.
Yeah.
They predated me. The Brigada came well after me, but it's still going.
Yeah. It kind of lost traction there for a little while, but Richie and Darcy, since they took over last year, have really kind of brought it back to where it was when Ray Garvey had it, from what I understand.
Yeah, they do a great job.
What do you think the key to the Stress Factory's longevity has been? Like, what do you think the main key?
Well, we always try to reinvent ourselves a lot. You know, we did a major renovation last year over the summer. We've always booked the best comics, so we've never not booked the best. Always been very, very aware of our customers. So when you're in a club, you feel special. I mean, we're making that a great night for you. So all of that stuff has kept us alive for all these years. And now I have to say, like, we're actually getting busier than we were last year. Last year we had a good year, but now I think we're doing even better because, you know, the renovations are completed and, you know, new menu items, new drink items, new beers on tap, just all that stuff. I mean, you know, when you're a customer, you come in, you want to have a total experience.
Yep.
And that's what we give people. So,
plus you're opening up
the new, that's why.
Plus you're opening up the new club in Connecticut and everything else. So.
Yeah. New club in Connecticut is going to be that might be the death of me. but that's going to be, yeah, it might be.
Did he just spill? Did he say something you shouldn't have? I feel like he said something you shouldn't have.
No, right. It's.
We said it yet?
I feel like
Brian said something you shouldn't have.
No, it's public knowledge that he's opening up the club in Connecticut. So.
Oh yeah, yeah, it's out there now. It's out there. People know, and it's one of those deals that for a while we kept it quiet, but now we just told everybody. You know, we don't worry about it. People know it's out there. It's in the Connecticut papers. Construction's, you know, well underway. So you know, I think that we're just out there with that knowledge.
You mentioned great shows.
Are you going to come?
I would love to go see the Connecticut Club once it's finally opened. I would absolutely love to. That would be awesome. So I'm excited about
it. Well, the Connecticut Club, we're going to get that club up and running by probably August.
Okay.
And I will tell you that, I will tell you that we're going to have quite a bit. We'll probably bring a bus up from New Brunswick
right.
for all of our regulars. Bring them all up, let them see the room, and do some special stuff up there. We're nice. Excited about Connecticut. Connecticut's going to be fun, but it'll probably kill me.
It's going to be a lot of work.
So much work.
You're not going to be able to be up there in Connecticut as often as you are in New Brunswick. So that's a lot of traveling.
No.
You mentioned having a lot of great.
Try.
You mentioned a lot of great shows in at the club this month alone. You have Gary Gulman. Or I'm sorry, that's next month. Next month you have Gary Gulman. But you have headlining this weekend, Yiannis Pappas next weekend. You've got our good pal, Brett Ernst, who's headlining the weekend after that. Joe DeVito's doing a one night off that you guys are sponsoring at Gotham and Red Bank. Gary Gulman, of course, the end of the month, beginning of next month. So you got a lot of great comics that you always have. And you guys get like top notch comics. These are not open micers, any of that shit. You got really top notch comics. You got Paul Zerdin from America's Got Talent's going to be next month. DL Hughley, huge name, doesn't do anything but theaters, and he's coming to do the Stress Factory. So it gives a testament to what you guys do at the Stress Factory, which is very, very cool. So,
and we're hoping very soon that we'll have a visit from some big guys. We're thinking soon we're going to have a visit from Chris Rock, maybe Kevin Hart.
Nice.
These guys are out working, so we'll probably have those guys come in.
Nice. Good shit. I will tell you, and I'll wrap up with this. You guys will forever, not that you guys had a special place in my heart to begin with as one of my favorite clubs, but you guys were so nice and accommodating and put me in the front row within touching distance. I behaved myself and I didn't touch him, but within touching distance of somebody who's been an idol of mine since I was in high school. And that was, you guys put me in the front row at the edge of the stage for the evening with Kevin Smith. And I really hope you guys do another one of those, because that was phenomenal. And there's a very rare opportunity for me to fanboy out, but boy, was I fanboying hard that night. And it was just a phenomenal night. It was a great thing. And I hope you guys do it again soon.
He's great.
Yeah.
Hopefully he's going to be back as well.
We're
hoping for him to come back.
You can check out our good pal Vinny Brand again this weekend at his club, the Stress Factory Comedy Club in New Brunswick, New Jersey. He's doing Teacher Appreciation Night tomorrow night. He's not going to take a sick day like a lot of these teachers do or a lot of these students do. He's going to be there on stage for your enjoyment, come hell, high water, or 6 feet of snow. And then Friday and Saturday, you'll do shows 7:30 and 9:45 also. And people should get tickets now for that by going to stressfactory.com or calling 732-545-4242. And then, of course, you got the special Valentine's Day shows with Gary Conrad and Buddy Fitzpatrick coming up as well. People should get information for that.
Yeah, man.
Dueling pianos.
Thank you for having me on.
No problem, my friend. And I'm looking forward to doing a comics tale. You tell me when you want me to come up, and I'll be happy to work my schedule around when you want me to come up.
Well, we're going to do our March Madness on Tuesdays, and you'll come up for that.
Yeah.
And
we'll do it after one of those or something.
Thank you again.
Like,
I'm going to go convalesce.
Go relax, Vinny. Have a great night. We appreciate it, brother.
Thanks, buddy. I'll talk to you soon.
All right. Feel better. Bye-bye.
Thanks, buddy. Bye.
Mr. Vinny Brand, ladies and gentlemen, owner and proprietor of the Stress Factory Comedy Club in New Brunswick, New Jersey. We need to take a quick break, and we will be right back with the beautiful Alana Love. Stay tuned. It's the Radio Freaks, radiofreaks.tv.
After these messages, we'll be right back. Hey, this is Voss. You're listening to the Radio Freaks at radiofreaks.tv. But then again, you would probably know that if you were listening. Why am I even doing this? If you're listening, then you know what you're listening. You know what I'm saying? It's pretty fucking dumb that what you want to say is you want to take an ad somewhere else and go, hey, hey, turn this crap off and go to the Radio Freaks at radiofreaks.tv. That's how you would do it on someone else's podcast, not on your own. You know what I'm saying?
Want to stay up on what's going on with the show? Like the Facebook page at facebook.com/TheRadioFreaks and follow the show on Twitter at twitter.com/TheRadioFreaks.
I'm Vinny Brand, and this is the world-famous Stress Factory Comedy Club. Every single weekend, right here in New Brunswick, the biggest names in the business. Get some great food and a cold beer, and you'll see the best stand-up comics the country has to offer. Log on to StressFactory.com to buy your tickets and check out all the best show information. Or call us at 732-545-4242. The Stress Factory. Your friends are right. This place is great.
Hey, this is your old pal, Dr. Steve, here to tell you about my show, Weird Medicine. Weird Medicine is a show for people who would never listen to a medical show on the radio. If you have a question that you're embarrassed to take to your regular medical provider, if you can't find an answer anywhere else, give us a call. I have a traditional Chinese medical doctor as my partner. What an asshole. So listen to Weird Medicine, Saturday, 10 p.m. on the East, 7 p.m. on the West. On Sirius 206, XM 103, Opie Radio.
It takes a lot to become a Winter Olympian. Strength, courage, determination, and many other things your sorry ass don't have. So I'll stop listing them. Instead, let's talk about pancakes. Mmm, I love pancakes, especially with butter or syrup, but not jelly. That's for toast, fool. Visa, everywhere you want to be.
I'm always in control. I don't let anything slow me down.
That's why I use Skinny Chick alcoholic tampons. Now I can enjoy Skinny Chick vodka whenever I want, and no one has to know.
Skinny Chick tampons deliver alcohol directly to the bloodstream, so they work fast with no incriminating smell on your breath.
Oh, I hate it when my job gets in the way of happy hour. But with Skinny Chick alcoholic tampons, I can bring the bar to me.
I don't want to choose between my hobbies and my habit. Thanks to Skinny Chick tampons, I don't have to. Hey, wait up! Wait! Wait for me!
I love brunch, but as a single mom, it can be hard to make time for. Now I can enjoy my morning buzz without Susan Greenblatt constantly judging me. What are you looking at?
And they're totally discreet.
Skinny Chick tampons are made from the highest quality cotton for maximum comfort and flexibility.
I got one in right now.
Me too.
Fuck!
And it comes in three different flavors. It's so good, I love it.
Skinny Chick alcoholic tampons are not a menstrual product. Do not drive or use heavy machinery under the influence of alcoholic tampons. Do not use more than one tampon in a single orifice. Side effects may include fatigue, uncontrollable sobbing, and the desire to text your ex-boyfriend. If vaginal numbness occurs, that just means it's working.
Skinny Chick alcoholic tampon.
Drink like a pussy.
If you missed any part of the show, download it.
Shit! I can download it? Tell me where, announcer guy. I'm confused.
You can listen to the Radio Freaks every week right from your smartphone. Check us out on iTunes and on Stitcher Radio, both available in the Apple Store and Google Play.
Has this ever happened to you? Well, not anymore. Say goodbye to all of your masturbatory dilemmas with new Jizz Hands from Jerkins. Made with a super absorbent space-age polymer, Jizz Hands can handle any load you throw its way. Oh, brother, that tissue will never work. But no matter how many money shots Jizz Hands take, they will not harden. This isn't your daddy's semen receptacle. But wait, there's more! Warm them in the microwave for some cozy putt-pulling. And after you're done blowing that big wad, just toss it in the dishwasher for easy cleanup. Hey ladies, dreading another carpal tunnel-inducing handjob? Huzzah! Try Jizz Hands on for size, and for jerking him off. Whether you're a one-a-dayer or you just found daddy's porn collection, say goodbye to your old crusty spooge rags and say hello, Dolly, to new Jizz Hands.
This year's Winter Olympics feature a record 98 events and a record 8,000 Jimmy Fallon promos. I swear if I see one more ad for this giggly white boy, I'll put a crossbow through my damn flat screen. Hey, NBC, you want me to watch The Tonight Show? Then hire someone that actually makes me laugh. Like Carrot Top. Now that dude's funny. Well, my favorite bit is where he uses a prop to mock one of life's daily absurdities. You go, Carrot Top.